Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure BioSpeed Clean Vacuum Cleaner. Save $200 on this powerful vac that doesn't have a cord and is bag-free. To save an additional $20 with free shipping, put in code word GRACECLEAN at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining me on this Monday. We're going to have a great week of shows planned for you guys. Lots of fun in store. So make sure you keep tuning in. Make sure you make your reservation for Aviva Trattoria on Friday. And we will handle the rest. We always do. All right. So I don't normally talk sports. I actually do watch a lot of golf, and that is because my dad is a huge fan of golf, and yesterday was Father's Day. I hope all the fathers had a great, great day. And because of that, there was a few elements of the U.S. Open yesterday that made it quite something to see. One of them was the fact that it's Father's Day. It always adds like a sentimental edge to those kind of things. But also the winner, Jon Rahm, just 2 weeks ago, he was forced to withdraw from the Memorial. And then yesterday, he won the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. His wife was there. His son was there. His father was there. It was very emotional. And I'm bringing on my sports expert to talk about something a little bit more serious. But first, Steve Happas, thanks for joining us. What did you think of the U.S. Open yesterday?
Well, it's great theater as always. Whenever you have a tight lineup like it was at the U.S. Open, I mean, we've seen situations like with Dustin Johnson just blows away the field and it's not compelling. But that back nine, with so many players that were within one or two strokes, was just incredible TV and great competition.
Now, do you think the PGA is kind of regretting the decision they made just 2 weeks ago to pull Jon Rahm off in front of cameras, tell him that he was positive for COVID and that he couldn't play? I mean, he was very gracious about it, Steve, especially with the interviewers. You know, he said he totally understood. But it did feel, I think a lot of people were upset by that.
I think if it happened again, since this was the first time I think it happened like on live TV, I think a few of the times they've gotten results back before it started. But for one, it was bad. I think it was a bad look for them to do it as he left the course and he started, you know, a little bit of tears, etc. But even that being said, I think if it wasn't done on TV and they recorded it after and talked with him, they might have come up with a better solution. And there was things thrown out that, well, maybe they could just have him play by himself, right? Just limit it to him and whoever else he had exposure to. So he could play. I mean, he was six strokes ahead when it went into the final day. I think it cost him a little over $1.2 million he would have won. He won this tournament the previous year, so he was going to defend his title. And I think it was just unfairly done the way that they handle it. Especially, listen, if it was 6 months ago and COVID is still a little bit more serious, I think, you know, from an optic standpoint, probably right thing to do. But now since we've been, and no pun intended, on the back nine of COVID over the past few months, I think they could have handled differently, found a way to let him play, and still, from an optic standpoint, not get backlash from, you know, the woke people in this universe.
Yes, so we were very happy for Jon Rahm yesterday. It was a great moment, great TV. Steve Happas, first of all, I should introduce you a little bit better. You're the sports prop philanthropist. A lot of people know you as Dakota from Braintree. You're a Boston sports radio yakker. And I wanted to give you that question first because it's feel good and it eases you into it. And now I'm getting to the question that might make you, it's a little bit trickier. New Zealand weightlifter Laurel Hubbard becomes first transgender athlete to compete at the Olympic Games. She'll be at the Tokyo Games. And this decision set fuel to a debate that has been going on for a long time now. Depending on where you stand, some people think this is going to ruin women's sports forever. Some people say, hey, we're just being inclusive. It's no big deal. Stop being such a bigot. Steve, where do you fall on this?
Well, if this happened in golf, right, and just think of it, you know, since, you know, we're talking about golf, and if I was going to become transgender and then hit from female tees, I would be able to dominate every tournament going just because I'm a male athlete, at least in my opinion. Now, that doesn't take away that there's plenty of, you know, top female professional golfers, but it's weightlifting. I think there's Chelsea Wolf, who's going to be an alternate for on the BMX US team. She may not compete. But as it relates to this, they want us, during this whole thing of COVID and everything, they said, believe the science, believe the science. Well, they're trying to include people that have changed their body, and they're trying to see if there's a, I guess it's unfair, or is there a competitive edge if you decide to become transgender and that's what you want to participate as. Well, the scientist says, yeah, there is definite proof that there's a huge advantage. So in the wake of, like, trying to be fair, how is this fair for the other people competing, you know, in the weightlifting or BMX or soccer? I think there's a Canadian soccer player, Quinn, that is also transgender that's playing. So where's the fairness in that if you want to believe in the science? Because I don't care who they are, there is a huge competitive advantage for someone that was a man becoming a female and competing against other born females. I don't know if anybody can argue that point.
Well, I like the example you gave of playing on from the female tees, because you'll remember Megan Rapinoe, who is now you know, working with Victoria's Secret. She's very woke. She gets a lot of praise. She actually was stood at the podium in the press room before Joe Biden ever talked to the press and did an actual press briefing. She's a star. And if you remember, she actually lost, her team lost to a team of U15 boys. And so there's this idea that it doesn't mean anything, and that, you know, this the biological advantage isn't there, is absurd, because you have a professional soccer team versus 15-year-old boys, and they get beat. And it's no disrespect to them. They're incredible players. But there is just this huge difference when you're dealing with men versus women.
I mean, we all grew up it that way. I think when I was back in good old Quincy, Massachusetts, growing up in Little League, there was a few females that played on the boys' Little League. It was only and you know what? Those girls could compete with us. They didn't have to be transgender. They could just compete. And maybe that's just the way to do it. If you're a female and you have the talent, you should just open up that talent to both genders. And that way, that would solve the issue about the whole transgender thing in one fashion. Because, I mean, I think someday we'll have a female player in the NFL. You know, there's been kickers and a kick in college for, you know, field goals. I think someday you'll have a female be able to play some type of position in baseball, whether it's pitching. I think they could probably handle it on the pitching side. But I don't know. I think that's more of the way to go, is you want the inclusion and the fairness. But, you know, I'm a big believer is that, you know, how you were born and how your body is, that should decide whether you, you know, who you have to compete against, because the physical, you know, architecture and the DNA makeup is different between men and women. It's always been that way, and it's always going to be, and it's just unfair. And so that brings back the whole fairness situation.
I'm speaking with Steve Happas. You guys can follow him at Dakota Happas on Twitter. He's usually known as Dakota from Braintree. Now, Steve, I want to talk a little bit about that, because this is the first time it's happening at the Olympics, but this has been happening in high school sports for a very, very long time. And I think the difference is this is something that always bothers me about agendas and politics, is that people tend to not care until it happens to them. And I think for a lot of these big uber successful athletes, they always say, well, no, let it's all about inclusivity. They don't care if a high school girl from Connecticut loses her scholarship. That's not going to affect them. But now that it's hitting closer to home, you know, now that some of these male athletes who've had to train, these female athletes who have had to train their whole lives, they skip birthday parties, they've missed weddings to really try to become the best in the world. Now that their opportunities are going to be taken away from them, do you think more people are going to start speaking out?
I think if they end up winning, like say Laurel ends up winning the super heavyweight and wins a gold or a silver, and it's taken away from someone in the U.S. or someone that part of the media will cover, I think then it will matter. I think they're going to be included in any of the sports at Olympic, and they set the guidelines up. And I think they changed, they updated the qualifying requirements for, I think, the testosterone levels, so she could become eligible. And, you know, I think if she ends up winning, then there'll be a backlash. But, you know, if they don't end up competing and winning, then nobody's actually going to care, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And another question I wanted to ask you, Steve, because I know you watch a lot of basketball, and I've always thought about this, and I know the argument. You know, people always say, all right, so LeBron James gets paid, you know, an obscene amount of money. I don't know how much it is right now off the top of my head, but it's a lot. And then the women who play basketball in the WNBA, they don't get paid nearly as much. Women's sports don't draw in as much of an audience, and therefore advertisements don't go for as much. I get the logic behind it. But based off the left, the woke, and all of this, I wouldn't be surprised if in the near future people start saying, well, LeBron, put your money where your mouth is. If female athletes are just as important, then you either take a pay cut or you share your wealth.
Well, that'll never happen. You know as well as I do, because the woke community is the biggest hypocrisy going. So, you know, it's all about their dollars first, right? Like, LeBron, as much as LeBron says and tries to be woke, if it's going to affect his pocket, he's not going to be for it. So to me, it'll never happen from that standpoint, because when it comes to, you know, the dollar side of it, the elite left, whoever is in control, they're thinking of themselves first. But their mouthpiece needs to be something different.
Yeah, I think this is going to open up a whole new can of worms. Once you start getting involved with these elite athletes and you start messing with their paychecks and their prizes and whatever they're going to come home with, I think people will start to realize, oh, this is a little bit of a slippery slope. Steve Happas, thank you so much. Steve, the next time you're on, I think we're going to have people, you know, call in and maybe ask you some questions, because you are really great at this. Everyone can follow Steve on Twitter at Dakota Happas. Thank you very much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Thanks, Grace.
The reviews are in for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. One user wrote, simple to use and easy to install. Just plug them in. If you have three dogs, buy three. You know, if you have a lot of rooms in your house, buy a few of them. Give one to a friend. These things always come in handy. Jared has one in his car.
Yeah, I use it to keep my car clean of, well, any odors that come into the car, as they do, especially in this heat. But the pollen, the different allergens, things that are in the car that come in either through the air filter, or they just come in, we get the windows open, and it just lingers, and there's some areas you just can't clean no matter how hard you try. That's why I keep the Thunderstorm in there, because it ionizes the air in my car. It creates a super oxygen, and I'm not sniffing and coughing and sneezing. My eyes aren't watery in my car. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's also great for cooking. You know, if you have some of that garlic or fish smell that tends to linger, or just a damp smell in your basement, order today and order more than one, because you're going to want more than one. Another owner said, this is the second time I have ordered the Thunderstorm, and now I have five. My house, including my basement, has never smelled so fresh. I love them. You will too, guys. Order the Thunderstorm today at EdenPure.com. Click on the Grace banner and put in code word GRACE10. That problem room will no longer be a problem again. That's EdenPure.com. Click on the Grace banner and put in code word GRACE10. It looks like people want to talk about this. If you want to talk about Laurel Hubbard, the first transgender athlete in the Olympics, we'll do a segment on it. We'll take calls next. I'm going to be on Newsmax later, and I think that's one of the topics. And I'm trying to kind of figure out. I feel like Howie getting inspiration from the text line. I'm trying to figure out what most people are thinking about this. I think it's a horrible idea, and I think it will be interesting to see some of these elite athletes start to realize that, oh, their lives could be affected by this deranged policy, just like, you know, that runner in Connecticut. It could affect them too. We'll be right back. 844-500-4242 with your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato chips.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. This is from Reuters. Weightlifter Laurel Hubbard will become the first transgender athlete to compete at the Olympics. After being selected by New Zealand, for the women's event at the Tokyo Games, a decision set to fuel the debate over inclusion and fairness in sports. We're going to fuel that fire right now. Tom, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom. Tom? All right, he's not there. Daniel, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hi, Grace. Hey, so my observation is that while there's lots of transgender women athletes trying to break in, I don't see the big rush for transgendered men athletes trying to get into men's sports, whether it's football, baseball, basketball. I think that supports the theory that there clearly is an advantage for a biological male.
That's a very, very valid point. You don't hear, and if there's examples, please, you know, send them to me. You can follow me on Twitter @G_Curley, but I don't really see many examples of women transitioning into men and then wanting to compete in men's sports. But I do hear often, you know, you see pictures of a bunch of 14-year-old girls playing basketball and then one transgender person who towers above them also playing basketball. So yeah, it does seem like they're all going one way. But again, Daniel, I don't want to partake in your hate speech. So I might just let that one slide. Yeah, it's going to be interesting watching this play out. This is not going to be the first case. It's not the first case, and it's definitely not going to be the last. This is what happens when you stop being able to say, I'm a man, or I'm a woman, or I'm a mother, or I'm a father. When there's a real purpose to destroying the language. In fact, I found a TikTok that blew me away. Did you know you can change genders based on the hour? This is something that, you know, it's really incredible. It's like getting a headache. Like it comes and goes within minutes of itself. Let's play this TikTok.
Oh, actually, I'm gender fluid. Oh, okay. Wait, what does gender fluid mean again? Gender fluid means my gender changes depending on the day or week, or even depending on the hour. It also means the pronouns I'm comfortable with can change too. Oh, so how do I know what pronouns to use for you and other gender fluid people? We all express them differently, but personally I express them through color-coded bracelets. Pink means she, her, yellow means they, them, and blue means he, him. And if I'm comfortable with more than one pronoun, I will combine them. Oh, okay, so today's a she, they day? You got it.
I'm confused. So now we have bracelets based off the gender, but we also have bracelets based off how close people can get to you in the supermarket because of COVID. So what if you have the green bracelet on for go, but you also have the yellow bracelet on for he, him, and then... But people think the yellow means I'm comfortable. There's too much color coding. I've never been a good color coder.
Yeah, I don't like to, judge based on colors. I like content of characters. So I think all the bracelets should be the same color in terms of equality.
By the way,
a blue for he, him, and a pink for she, her, that's fairly stereotypically gendered.
That is
bordering on Republican Neanderthal thinking.
Yeah, that's setting us back. That's setting us back 50 years.
That's Jim Crow 2.2.
On steroids. Don, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, good afternoon, Grace. You're doing a great job again.
Thank you.
I thought that this whole physical thing had been addressed by the Olympics many years ago with a couple of letters like XXYY. That kind of spells it out. And it's kind of interesting to be watching all this because there's no logic to it. I have something called Prop 9, which is supporting female athletics in college. Well, you can throw that out the window if you're a decent high school athlete and decide that you want a scholarship. How can they stop you from having a scholarship under Prop 9 and whatever the sport is? It's just insanity.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a minuscule section of the population driving the rest of us. It's like, hey, it's just logic.
And I think that's the part of this that I've always noticed is I have no problem with any group of people, transgender people. I have no problem accepting people and all of that. But if the pursuit of your equality makes it so unfair for other people, then this, it cannot be the right answer. This can't be the solution. In order to make this equal for transgenders, you're going to put females at a disadvantage. As a proud woman, hear me roar, that doesn't sit right with me. All right, we still got more calls on this. 844-500-4242. Weigh in on the other side. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We're having an interesting conversation about Laurel Hubbard, who New Zealand has decided is going to compete in the women's weightlifting in the Olympics. She is going to be the first transgender athlete to compete at the Olympic Games. Hubbard will compete in the super heavy 87, the super heavy category. Her selection made possible by updated qualifying requirements. The 43-year-old, who will be the oldest lifter at the Games, had competed in men's weightlifting competitions before transitioning in 2013, which is also interesting. It means that, you know, she did get to see what the competitions were like for men, and then she transitioned. And I'm not saying that's why she transitioned, but it is interesting. Oh, and by the way, I'm sorry. I said super heavyweight, but it's super heavyweight 87 kilogram category. All right. So we will go to the phone lines. But first, let's do the poll question. Summer is here. And that means it's time to visit Cape Gun in Hyannis. Visit GraceCurlyShow.com. Click on store and get a basic firearms LTC class for half off. Half off. That's a really good deal. We don't have many left, so get them fast. That's GraceCurlyShow.com. Click on store. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Will you be shopping on Amazon for Prime Day today?
No, I will not. I'm going to stay strong.
91% say no, they will not.
I do love this big bag of scrunchies I buy, not to sound like Dr. Jill, but I'm a huge scrunchie girl, and I'm sure I could get them for so cheap and they last me like the whole year, but I'm not going to do it. You have my word as a Biden. I will not be buying those. I don't think, maybe, potentially, definitely, perhaps not. All right, so what do you guys think? Laurel Hubbard is competing. She'll be the first transgender athlete to compete. Is this the right move by New Zealand? Is this the wrong move for the other female athletes out there? Catherine, you're the first woman weighing in on this. Catherine, go ahead. Catherine, are you there?
Hi. I don't think it's fair.
You don't think it's fair? Can you elaborate? Because a lot of people are going to say that's hate speech right there.
I mean, it's not physically fair. The, you know, the, her body, I guess I would say her body is not the same. She, you know, biological men are stronger.
I know. And I almost think that it's really sad that people can't say that. You know, there are so many things that women do that men can't do. And there are things that men can do that women can't do. And that's okay. There's this big liberal push to make everybody equal. And I think there's a difference between having equal opportunities and making everyone out to be the same. There's a difference between men and women. My body could have a child. That's an incredible thing. I'm not a birthing person. I'm a woman. And we've gone from being proud of the things that make us different to being ashamed of them or for pretending they don't exist. And that is very dark and very scary. Adam, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Thank you for the call, Catherine, by the way. Go ahead, Adam.
Well, I was going to talk about Biden, but I think this transgender is a really easy way to solve this problem, Grace.
Yes.
Have their own Olympics. Have them put all the money up and do it. If they're so intent on competing, have their own Olympics. And I think that would fizzle out pretty quickly. I think we're just talking, and it's not fair for men.
Right, and, he,
compete.
And, And the other part of this is I want to throw in 2 points here, because Adam just reminded me of this. One is that Caitlyn Jenner, who's transgendered and went from, if anyone has a good idea of what they're talking about when it comes to transgender athletes and the Olympics, Caitlyn Jenner at one point said that biological men transitioning and then competing in women's sports is just not fair. Caitlyn Jenner, previously known as Bruce Jenner, one of the greatest athletes in the United States history, said that. And that was disregarded. And I think that's important. And I think the second thing is, no one is saying that someone like Laurel Hubbard shouldn't be able to play sports or compete. You should just have to compete with the gender that you were born with. Not, I'm not saying you have to identify as that gender, but you have to compete with the gender that you were born with.
Yes, because it comes down to physical traits. A 5'5" person cannot play in the NBA. That is a physical trait. Somebody with an enhanced muscle mass, muscle structure cannot compete against, or somebody with an inferior muscle structure cannot compete against somebody with a superior one. It's just, that's how it breaks down.
But there's this real desire to detach from reality, like everything you're saying, because it doesn't make people feel good, then it can't be true. And the fact is, a lot of stuff that's true in this life, I've learned this and I'm only 29, a lot of stuff that's true doesn't make you feel good, but it doesn't mean it's not true. It doesn't mean it's not there. What I will say is, I do think that if a man transitioned to become a woman, which I'm, again, totally fine with that. I accept all people. I have all different kinds of friends. I'm not hating on anyone here. But I think if a man transitioned to become a woman and wanted to go into boxing or to a female sport, it would be a whole different conversation. And to me, that's right there an issue. Because what's the difference? If there's no difference, then why would it be different for a man to transition into a female and compete against females? Or a female transition to a man. I'm lost. It's all so confusing. Mike, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Grace, don't worry. We're all a little confused on this subject.
Yes.
Listen, when one of these people can go through 9 months and then go through the pain of childbirth, then I'll buy into this, okay? And number two, where are all the women not putting a cease to this? The woman should be standing up and just screaming at the top of their lungs and putting an end to this. You know, they used to all get together back in our day, Holyoke, tell you, with the burn the bra movement.
I was just going to say, burning the bras, yes.
Yeah, I mean, where are these women? They're not all out there in the street saying this needs to stop.
No, I totally agree with you. And I actually am realizing there's a lot of fake feminists out there, because if you're really a feminist and you really stand up for other women, then you would understand how unfair this is to women. And you'd be proud. You'd be proud of the things your body can do that men can't do. I mean, we're the ones who make sure, and with the help of men, obviously, but we are the ones who can have children and keep society going. We have a lot of things we can do. We're great athletes, but we should be competing against other athletes who are females. I don't understand. I totally agree with that last call. I don't know where these women are speaking up. And I know some women speak up when their daughters get to an age where, hey, she was the fastest runner in Connecticut and now she's losing her scholarship. But we have to speak up before that. But again, it comes down to, people are so afraid to offend. People are so afraid to not be woke. And so what we do is we bite our tongues and we let the situation get bigger and bigger and bigger until it starts to affect us. And it starts to affect you directly. And I'll be honest, I'm not an athlete. Never have been. My dad can attest. He went to all my games. I was terrible. It didn't matter who I was competing against. I was always awful. So this isn't an issue for me. But you have to recognize when things are not right and things aren't fair and speak up anyway. Mark, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi there, Grace. Great show. I just think we are using the wrong term. We got to stop using the word gender when trying to figure out the rules for different things and use the word sex, because that's what determines our biological differences in that way. It's our sex. Gender is some sociological term coined a few decades ago and can mean anything. So that's what I got to say about that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think just listening to that TikTok, gender fluidity, it's more of a mindset than anything else, but biology exists. That's the craziest part of this, is when you start to get into like doctors and actual experts who start saying, well, you know, you can't really define anything. The people who, you know, are supposed to follow the science, the settled science, are also buying into some of this. Catherine, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Catherine.
Hi. My thought on this is, why don't they just divide the athletes by weight class? You know, there are a lot of short guys who like to play basketball. Maybe they could play on a shorter team. There are some women that can compete with men and some that can't. And these huge guys that are competing with women, shame on them. I don't care what they call themselves. Why not just separate them by size and weight?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Catherine, and I think that's a decent point. But I do think that there is, even if you weigh the same much as a man, and I'd have to check this, I don't know, but I do think there's just innate advantages in a male body, whether it's strength. It's not just about physical weight, I don't think. But that is a good point. All right, we got to go to the other side. 844-500-4242. When we get back, we'll be talking to Howard Lawrence Carr. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I am joined now in studio by Howard Lawrence Carr. Howie, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Howie. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about Sheldon Whitehouse. He's involved in a club. I didn't know these clubs still existed. All white.
You don't
country
know much
clubs.
About our Yankee brethren, do you?
I don't. Early. I'm proud that I do not know much about them. Let's play Sheldon. I think you'll be impressed with this reporter. She was very, very good.
I really liked it.
I wish she could do some reporting with Jen Psaki and Joe Biden, but unfortunately, she stuck to the Sheldon Whitehouse beat. But let's listen to her questions for the senator.
Back in 2017, you had expressed concerns about the membership of the all-white Bailey's Beach Club, said that you hoped it would become more diverse. Now, your family's been members. Your wife is one of the largest shareholders. Has there been any traction in that? Are there any minority members of the club now?
I think the people who are running the place are still working on that. I'm sorry it hasn't happened yet.
Do you have concerns in 2021? I mean, obviously, it's been 4 years. You had remarks on the floor following the deaths of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd saying, you know, hoping to root out systemic racism in the country. Your thoughts on an elite, all-white, wealthy club, again, in this day and age? You know, should these clubs continue to exist?
It's a long tradition in Rhode Island, and there are many of them. I think we just need to work our way through the issues. Thank you.
It's a long tradition. Do you know where he went to prep school?
Where?
St. Paul's.
Oh, another long tradition.
He's younger, but he went same prep school as John Caddy and Robert Mueller. And he's in that long tradition of Yankee, clueless Yankees from Rhode Island, like Senator Claiborne Pell. You ever hear Claiborne Pell? They used to call him Stillborn Pell. And one time he was so out of touch that one time he was at a campaigning, and it was raining a lot and his shoes were getting wet. And he said, "Can someone go out and get me some mucklucks or some such thing?" So they went out and they got him some rubbers. And so he put on the rubbers, and Senator Stillborn Pell said, "Who did you get? Where did you get these lovely rubbers?" And the guy said, "Tom McCann's." And Senator Pell said, "Well, the next time you see Tom, tell him thanks a lot. And
wow.
Sheldon Whitehorse is in that same tradition.
Yes, and it's interesting because, again, it's always, you know, the Democrats don't practice what they preach. But I don't think I have time, Howie, to get into it during my show. We only have a few minutes left. But maybe you can get into it in yours. The Washington Post is trying to teach people, you know, how to be ashamed of their whiteness. Do you think maybe Sheldon could use a class?
Grace, I am very surprised that you neglected to play one. Probably Sheldon Whitehorse's House's most famous sound cut.
What was that?
Is when he's asking Brett Kavanaugh about the flatulence in the yearbook.
Well, you're right. I now wish I had played that. I'm sure you're
we'll
going
have that.
To.
Taylor is running to get it right now.
I'm sure you're going to play plenty
maybe
of it.
Maybe Taylor's going to find it right now.
But
so that you can have it.
But Howie, I was looking at, and it's interesting the reporter brings that up because he is a very woke person to be involved in this. And then did you hear the fact check I found from PolitiFact about Donald Trump? Because we always talk about how Donald Trump was one of the first people in Palm Beach to allow black people and Jewish people into his club. And PolitiFact says, Trump did open Mar-a-Lago to blacks and Jews, but in a business move, not a crusade.
They sued him. They sued him for all kinds of zoning violations, putting up the big American flag pole in his front yard that could be visible from Bath and Tennis Club, which was a lot like that's the kind of place Sheldon Whitehorse would hang out if he were in Palm Beach. And, they won't give Trump the benefit of any doubt.
No, anytime there's a fact check that's going to go in favor of a conservative, it's more complicated than that. He did allow blacks and Jews into his club, but it was a business move. All right, guys, Howie's coming up next. I'll be back tomorrow. Don't go anywhere. This has been The Grace Curley Show.